Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We're going at it like Klopp and Dyche in the tunnel at Anfield, everybody. It's the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's Friday the 22nd of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Yes, friends, we didn't start it, but you can be damn sure we're going to finish it right here. Luke Moore, have you reassessed who you'd rather take on in hand-to-hand combat as darkness falls on Merseyside?
I mean, well, first of all, I want Andy Brassel to acknowledge yet again his very morose Andy Brassel name drop at the start. It's like if Andy was a rapper and he was about to name-check himself coming in to do a verse, I'm not sure if I'd carry on listening.
It's very much in the style of Fatlip, formerly of the Far Side, in The Loneliest Punk, where he talks about how it's all dreadfully gone wrong for him since he left the Far Side.
It is a bit like that.
Maybe. No, you told me when I signed for the Ramble, bring some broadsheet gravitas.
Yeah.
And that is what I'm attempting to do.
No, I actually said just bring as much banter as you've got, is what I said. And you said never use the word banter in front of me again.
That's exactly what I said.
Answer your question, Kate. I don't think, I kind of agree with whoever it was on Twitter last night who said it. It might have been Michael Cox, I can't remember. But someone said, no, do you know who it was? I think it was Ryan Hun from Stadio who said that Dyche probably isn't as hard as people think he is. I think he's probably all bark. I mean, quite literally all bark with no bite. And I think Klopp has got a bit of the unhinged nature about him and is also quite a lot bigger. So if it were me, I would probably, if I was fighting Jurgen Klopp last night physically, it's probably going to take a lot of my energy and strength to get any kind of hit on him through all those layers.
Yeah.
So I'd probably take on Dyche if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I don't know why everyone thinks of Klopp as being this like cuddly fella. I know he sort of smiles and laughs and is full of Andy Brassel's favourite banter, but I feel as though I used to very regularly see him raging about the place when he was coaching in Germany, Brassel. Like, do you remember the Champions League when he like went in on the, this is about 6 or 7 years ago, when he went in
Napoli
on the fourth official? Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one. But the thing is, Klopp can always get away with that because he apologises afterwards, which is so unusual amongst football coaches to, you know, you can do something that's pretty borderline and then come out afterwards and go, actually, I was a bit of a twat, sorry. Which no other manager says. But I would go for Klopp in the fight situation because, exactly because of what you said, Kate, you'd squirrel a cuddle out of it, which I think is probably the best approach to take. But I agree with Luke. I think Dyche is not as hard as people think. And everyone knows, if Premier League history has taught us anything, baseball cap equals hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing afterwards when he said, I didn't start it, but if we're not going to talk about this as Klopp, I didn't start it, but if we're not talking about it, then that's fine. And he obviously just so wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, I did, to be fair, as someone who is, and people around Ramble HQ will know this probably a bit too well, I am quite fiercely competitive. Like, even when I stopped playing football with my pals or like at an amateur level, I still kind of found myself, even without even realising it, kind of making up games in the office for everyone to play and see who could win. So I am quite competitive.
Yeah, and that had completely slipped my notice, Luke.
No, yeah, well, I do kind of do that quite a bit. But what I was going to say was, I did quite like the idea that it was quite... I mean, Andy will probably come on to why he didn't think it was a very interesting game last night, and because he's already mentioned that to us. But it was an interesting result, right? So the outcome was very interesting, and it was actually quite seismic if you look at the record that Liverpool had. And if Jurgen Klopp was going to be annoyed about anything, he would have been annoyed about this, and it would have been quite high high stakes. And I felt like when I was waiting for the post-match interviews with the managers to come in last night, I thought we'd get something a little bit more explosive from Klopp. But what we didn't really get that. But what I did like is I did like that they had a bit of a heat-of-the-moment clash at half-time. And to be fair to both of them, they did sort of say afterwards, look, it's no problem, don't worry about it, particularly Dyche, which I have to say, without being too boring about it, set quite a good example.
Yeah, I thought Klopp was twitching though, wasn't he? So yes, of course, this is Stats Fans. This is Liverpool's first defeat in 69 Premier League games at Anfield. Burnley, the victors in this one, 1-0 the final score, Andy.
I mean, going back to Luke's point, I do wonder if the argument at half-time kind of informs the press conference afterwards, because as we were saying with Klopp before, a moment of intense anger is always followed by a moment of inherent reasonableness. And, you know, there's nothing in that press conference that I would particularly disagree with, really. I thought it was all fair enough. He didn't seek to make any excuses or anything like that. I mean, you know, I've mentioned it enough times on here, so I feel like I'm going to have to say it again, but my pet hate is the way we kind of work backwards from the results. So Burnley did a great job. Of course they did a great job. Liverpool had to underwhelm a bit for them to do that. I think it's fair to say that the team selection proved to be a mistake, because by the time they got Salah and Firmino on, that Burnley were well set. But it is easy to work backwards from the result, I think. And, you know, if Divock Origi hadn't tried to take the leather or, you know, semi-plastic composite or whatever it is off the ball, Ben Mee would have been the guy who gifted Liverpool the lead. So
yeah, and as it was, he was the man of the match. So
yeah, exactly. So, obviously Liverpool are not having a great moment at the moment, but I think the Origi thing is kind of central to it. But because I think, especially in this season of all seasons, and there's been a lot of talk in various newspapers and social media this morning about, is Klopp reaching that sixth year at Dortmund moment where the players are just knackered and they can't have it anymore? So obviously there are a lot of differences in Dortmund's situation in Klopp's sixth year and Liverpool's situation in Klopp's sixth year. But one of the things that won't go away is there is a significant gap. And it's always going to happen, really, because who are you going to get to back up players who are always going to play? There is a significant gap between the best Liverpool 11 and the players just below it. Like, if you're talking about Liverpool being the best club side in the world, Origi, Shaqiri shouldn't be anywhere near it, really.
Mm. And also, Andy, the thing is, though, I mean, I'll take that in a slightly different direction. And I do think, In the way that football is covered these days, it's always going to be informed by the result, particularly the result as seismic as that. And of course, it's fine margins. It always is. And the way that teams set up against a team like Liverpool now, if Liverpool score early, it's going to be a completely different evening. And we know that. I mean, that's been the case probably for years now against these big teams, particularly with a less fashionable, less resourced Premier League team or a bit set of cup opposition or whatever. But your point about the drop-off from the first 11 is a really interesting one, but I would take it in a slightly different direction. And what I would say is, I would argue that the biggest miss for them at the moment is actually Diogo Jota. And the reason for that is because you bring Salah in, you bring Firmino in. What they need, that front three, is a massive shake-up. They need to, they've won the Champions League, they've won the Premier League, and really successful managers in the past have talked about this inertia that sets in. Even if you don't fully realise it, to successfully defend a league title in a competitive division, I'm not talking about PSG or Bayern Munich or whatever, is really, really hard. And part of the reason Diogo Jota is so important is because it wasn't that long ago we were having conversations, or everyone was, about whether he should be picking Jota or Firmino in that central position, because Firmino doesn't score that many goals and Jota's, you know, really shaking things up. He's not only good because he's a good player, he's good because he drives the others on and makes them better, because there's competition for places. And Diogo Jota being out is a massive miss for them, I think. But it is fine margins. I mean, you know, if Origi goes and scores that one-on-one, it's a completely different game, completely different. But he didn't, and it wasn't.
It's an excellent point, Luke, about Diogo Jota. And of course, they did miss, I think, Jordan Henderson, just in terms of leadership on the pitch last night. And to your point as well, Andy, you know, let's face it, Liverpool had 27 shots without scoring. That's the most they've had in a single league game and not scored in something like 7 years. So it's those fine margins of, like, they had the shots, they had the chances. But hey, guys, you know, Burnley, you know, sometimes you're watching a game and the formation's a bit funny and you're trying to work out who's playing where. Burnley, as I'm sure you'll have seen in almost all stages of the game, were in their two serried ranks of four. And it was absolutely beautiful. It was a beautiful performance of defending from Sean Dyche's side. And I personally really enjoyed just watching Liverpool being rendered impotent by grit, would we call it?
I think Burnley are great to watch, you know. I just think, you know, there's a bit of a majesty about the how they all move as a pack, and how they all and they all know their job so well. They move completely in unison. And, you know, Andy, I don't know if you've probably got more insight on me on this, but the great Italian managers down the years would talk of them, you know, roping together their defenders so they all move in the same position in the same way at the same time, and teaching them by literally stringing them together on the training ground. I mean, Burnley are kind of a manifestation of that, because they move in unison so regularly and so cleverly and so in such a disciplined way that it's very, very difficult for Liverpool in this case to do much. And before I bring you in, I'll just say very quickly that, you know, we talk about all these shots Liverpool have had, you know, almost 100 shots over the last however many games, and they've scored once or whatever it is in the league. You know, the quality of the chances they're getting, I mean, they're not amazing. I mean, the problem is, I mean, without getting too technical, you talk about the 475 crosses that Alexander-Arnold put in yesterday. I mean, when you're playing against a team that defends so well, and when they're already camped in their own penalty area,
it's the definition of madness.
Yeah, you're already camped in theirs as well. You've got no run on them. There's no momentum. You're absolutely right. It's like insanity, like doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I mean, you've got to be cuter and cleverer than that. Liverpool need to go back to how they used to play against teams who made it difficult for them. And at the moment, they're just not doing that.
And Dyche has done an incredible job, really, because I'm sure we've touched on it briefly on the ramble before. But if you bear in mind the difficulties at the start of the season between Dyche and the board, the fact that he wasn't really getting a lot of help in the transfer market, the way they started the season, for them to end up at this point with no real major investment, not even compared to, I guess, a Brighton or a Newcastle United or, you know, any team that's in a similar sort of space, it's quite remarkable. He does deserve a crack, I think, at another job. But I just wonder, you know who I could really see fitting in there, Kate? Dejan Lovren, because I'm missing in the Premier League.
They miss Lovren.
What, at Burnley is this? You're trying to get him?
Yeah, definitely. Just get him back in the Premier League at any cost, I say.
Best defender in the world.
Well, Dejan Lovren seems to be having a lovely old time at Zenit St. Petersburg, because he says he's been texting... Oh, no, Klopp's been texting him saying he misses him, but he didn't even reply. Did you see this? I just thought that was a bit wanky, really. Like, just reply.
He probably thought that he could... what he did is he texted Lovren at the exact moment that Origi was through on goal against Burnley last night. he said, you'd have scored that day, and how about it? And it's a massive Lovren move not replying, though, Andy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's the thing is, there's not enough context, you know. When was the text sent, you know? Because if it was, you know, 3 a.m, you know, bottle of vodka down, your ex texts you and says, I miss you. I mean, you shouldn't respond to that.
You know what it was, Andy. It was like 2 minutes before the interview or whatever it was, the chat that he was having, Lovren. So he's like, oh, yeah, I got this text and I haven't replied. It's like, you're right. You're right 2 minutes ago, Lovren.
I sometimes wake up in the morning to a text saying, you still up? Question mark. Kiss from like 3 a.m. and it's from Pete.
Yeah.
We all do.
But you keep very regular hours, don't you, Luke? That's not a lot of people know that.
I'm a man of, as you know, Kate, very well, I'm a man of tremendous discipline.
Well, on that note, Liverpool...
Like Burnley.
Liverpool need a bit of that. For them, it's only a trip to table-topping Manchester United coming up next. That's on Sunday. They're meeting in the FA Cup. Their next Premier League game is Tottenham on Thursday. So look, Manchester United, they actually managed to beat Burnley at Turf Moor fairly recently. So is that the litmus test, do you think, Andy, for whether you're a true title contender?
Really? Has it come to this already in the Premier League season? I just think there's so little to choose, actually, between the content of those two games. It goes back to...
It's bizarre, isn't it?
The result being king. And I just think you can't predict a run of results with any certainty in the Premier League at the moment. So to say that, you know, this is why Liverpool are going to fall short and this is why Manchester United have got a genuine chance, I don't believe in that at all, any more than I really believe that Jurgen Klopp was saving his players so he could properly have a go at United in the FA Cup at the weekend.
No, surely not. Yeah.
And we should also, by the way, just give... Burnley, before we move on, to give Burnley a little bit of credit. I mean, the penalty was a cut and dry penalty. They did have a little bit of a threat on the break. They weren't so defensive that they made it like a training ground exercise. And, you know, and actually in quite a difficult situation with the weight of history, 4 years or whatever it is of history on his shoulders, Ashley Barnes dispatched it pretty well. So, you know, they deserve a little bit of credit as well for sticking at their task and kind of getting a win, because it's not often that Burnley do get a huge amount of credit. So we should, you know, take the time to say well done to them too.
They deserve loads of credit, Luke. You're absolutely right. It's been something like, it's been over 40 years since they've won at Anfield. And there were, they didn't have as many chances as Liverpool, but they had enough chances and they were catching them on the break. And they created the chances and bloody hell, they got the win. And it was, I thought it was really impressive. I really enjoyed it. Do you think that's, Brassel, are you planning to enjoy, do you think you'll enjoy Sunday's game more or less than last night?
Honestly, because it's on Sunday, I feel pretty sure that I won't watch it.
Andy!
There's like 400 European games on every Sunday, and I end up watching anything that's happened on Sunday on Monday.
Fair enough.
All right, Luke, you better field that one then.
What's this, the Liverpool Man United game in the Cup?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's at Man United, isn't it? Apologies, yeah. Look, the last time they played each other, it was absolutely shit. This time, I hope it won't be quite as shit. But yeah, I'll obviously watch it because I'm a football fan, and you know, it's just how it is, you know. And it's one of our 4 to score games later as well, so I'll be watching it with keen interest because I'm a professional. Unlike Andy, I don't think I'm too cool to watch English football.
Professional.
Exactly. Discipline.
Is that what you were trying to convey with that, Brass? That you're too cool?
yeah, obviously.
Andy's the kind of guy who if you talk about like a really popular artist, and you say, what's your favourite song by that artist? He'll almost certainly say a B-side.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt.
I mean, this is a conversation that I obviously can't have. So shall we talk about one of the other
ones? What a B-side is, Kate. So basically, when a band releases a single...
It's from tapes, isn't it? It's from cassettes.
Yeah, it doesn't happen these days.
Oh, bless it. Yeah, no, I used to have a Walkman. Don't you worry about it. Let's get on to another one of the FA Cup games at the weekend. Surely going up against Wolves. And guys, there is already beef. There is beef because Nuno, I mean, there was beef from 1986, which we can talk about if you want, because Chorley famously beat Wolves and it was part of this like triple relegation situation back then where they just went into the absolute mud. They hit literal rock bottom. To quote Jamie Redknapp. I have heard they've been, Nuno's been concerned about the pitch, right? The Chorley pitch, because there's been Storm Christoph and obviously it's a non-league ground and all this sort of stuff. I don't know if it's related, but Chorley, moments before we recorded this, have just announced that their backer for tonight is Green Thumb Lawn Treatment Service. So I don't know.
Better late than never.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's a reaction to Nuno's griping about the pitch at Victory Park. But yeah, it's good to see a little bit of beef between, in this massive gulf between the two sides, Lee.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, Wolves have gone under the radar a little bit, in my view. I mean, all the chat we've had about Newcastle in recent weeks and months. I mean, if Newcastle win their game in hand in the Premier League, they could go above Wolves. So, I mean, we do this thing when we cover football where we kind of accept certain teams as part of the furniture and maybe sleep on it a little bit when they start to have a difficult time. This is absolutely a banana skin, to use that amazing phrase that I would never get tired of using. Chorley gave Derby's under eight an absolute battering last time around. it was great to see. Give those little slugs a reality check. those absolutely mollycoddled academy disgusting pinkos a reality check.
That's right, Lee, because football, if Derby's first team haven't been paid this month or for December, I imagine their youngsters are doing extremely well there.
I have a lot of sympathy for Derby as a club, amazing club, all the rest of it. But what I'm saying is, Chorley are going to make this a bit of a battle, and I think Nuno knows that, and that's why a lot of this stuff's happening. What I would also say, and I mean this in a completely non-patronising way, because regular listeners to our football shows will know that Andy and I love going to non-league football. I go to Gosport Borough whenever I can. Our last At The Match episode, Andy's extortionately expensive football show vehicle, went to Peckham Town last time, and it was brilliant.
What I want to say is
I'd love to visit Chorley because they have a chippy, I think, in their ground, and they serve up butter pies, which I've never tried, but I do really like the sound of.
And butter is the main ingredient, isn't it?
Is it?
I mean, it might be a bit too much butter. We'll have to wait and see. But I'll definitely, I mean, look, if anyone at Chorley wants to extend me a an invite when all this stuff's over, I'm not sure what they would.
Well, I'll tell you what, Luke, you have to, any good member of a production team plans ahead. And obviously, when we got to Peckham Town, they didn't have any green tea. So make sure if we go to Chorley, there's a vegan option. Okay.
I mean, to be fair, the Peckham Town At The Match episode, which you can still go and listen to now, by the way, did start off fairly inauspiciously when assistant producer Finn went to the wrong place and you kicked off and started throwing things around because the lovely tea lady had never heard of green tea before. So, hopefully Chorley will be better.
I feel like the chairman of Chorley is Ken Wright, is a smooth operator. Because he's taken these criticisms that there's going to be a risk of injury to the Wolves players on the chin, and he says the game's going to go ahead. It's a decent playing surface. There's nothing wrong with the pitch. And he was, of course, he was the manager in 1986 when they caused that upset.
That's a lovely little bit of subtext. I love a bit of narrative. But Mace, this is the thing, right? And I don't want to be too old-fashioned about this and be too kind of, yeah, Luke, you're a 40-year-old man. No one really cares what you think. I mean, that's been going on for years. Nothing to do with my age. Sometimes football players will have to play a game in a situation when it's not as easy as it is in other occasions.
Yeah, exactly.
Just fucking play the game. You know, think your own thoughts in your own head and just play the game. Like, be careful. No one wants to see anyone get injured, but you are a finely tuned athlete of amazing repute. I'm sure you can look down at your feet and run over a pitch that isn't like a carpet every so often
exactly.
And still play okay.
And what non-league players are having to go through at the moment in terms of uncertainty doing actual jobs as well at some point. Like Nigel Adderley, the commentator, has tweeted earlier. Jamie Vermilio, the coach of Chorley, has a day of overseeing homeschooling at his primary school, checking the kids of key workers socially distance and react to the latest government U-turn on its education policy in a pandemic. Then tonight he manages his team against Wolves. I mean, that is a day and a half.
Exactly.
That is serious stuff. Well, it kicks off tonight at 7:45. Chorley go up against Wolves.
Well, I will absolutely be watching tonight, looking forward to it, and I will probably turn it off and do something else when Wolves go 2-0 up after about 8 minutes. Big news, everyone. We have some brand new content waiting for you over on our Patreon. Tonight, breaking news tonight. Marcus Vish and myself will be doing a live stream Q&A on our Discord. A video, I think it's a video thing as well. I'm being told, I'm being like reliably informed, it's actually video as well. We have many more Ramble Lives in the works as well after that. Tonight is the inaugural one, so we're looking forward to it. Not only that, Marcus and Andy are also bringing out a brand new weekly show from Monday. So that is fortnightly Ramble Lives videos, weekly ramble-ons, ad-free rambles, don't forget that. That's absolutely key if that's your kind of thing, so you can listen to the shows without any ads, and a brand new weekly show with Marcus and Andy. There's so much going on. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble to discover what it's all about for as little as $5 a month. That is a snip, an absolute snip, given that you can't actually leave the house or do anything at the moment. What a great investment. So that's patreon.com/footballramble for loads more content over on the Patreon.
I cannot wait for the Discord tonight. I'm going to send you some absolute curveballs, lads. I can't wait. Time now to get to a break. So if you already have it, you won't have a chance to sit in on the ads. But if you do have the ads, maybe use this time to go and sign up to the Patreon. Just an idea.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
Me and Luke have been whiling away the lockdown with our usual nonsense on the Luke and Pete Show. Here's a quick taste of the kind of challenges we've been setting for ourselves.
Give us any nation and I'll tell you why they're dirty.
All right, I'll do it now.
Italy. Yeah. It looks like a sexy boot.
There's also a brand new episode of On the Continent, your weekly guide to the sublime and frequently ridiculous in European football. Find it over on Football Ramble Presents every Thursday.
Neymar's responded to this in kind that they forgot to tell you how to win titles. Then Alvaro has responded with a picture of Pelé with three World Cups going... in the eternal shadow of the king.
This reminds me of Stormzy and Wiley. The spice that they have.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
You know, when we come to these places, you know, we are allowed to actually fight. We are allowed to actually try and win. That's all it was.
Not usually the managers, though.
No. We just a couple of things. I said nothing, absolutely nothing that should be out of the normal. It's just two managers fighting for their teams, wanting to win a game. There's nothing wrong with that.
We're here to fight for our teams, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Thanks for sticking with us. Now it's time for a few of these.
Just email show at footballramble.com.
Yes, this one's from Jason Maroney. The new Craven Cottage pool made me think of stadiums with pools. The Jacksonville Jaguars are known for their stadium pool, so I have to assume Shahid Khan thought if it works in the stadium of one football team, why not in the others? Florida has the same weather as London. So, of course, you do the same thing at each stadium. Also, is Shahid trying to become the stadium pool magnate? Well, I'll tell you what, actually, Jason. I'm very fond of, if you go to Iceland's national stadium, they have a public swimming pool next door. I mean, it's not quite the same, but obviously the fact is everyone can join in, and it has loads of those that what they call hot pots, like those thermally heated spas. So for a couple of quid you can, like, you know, live it large whilst viewing the Icelandic National Stadium just over the way.
Oh my goodness me, Iceland is so amazing.
I love Iceland as well. And in the do you remember that viral video of that Scottish guy who got his flight cancelled because of the volcano in the background of that Sky News report, just going, "I hate Iceland." I actually love Iceland as well. It's an amazing place, but, you know, it's so funny to me because that Jacksonville Stadium, I mean, without being rude, I mean, Florida is the butt of a lot of the jokes over in the US generally, but I mean, it just, they're just so basic. Like, it's just so basic. They're all just in this massive pool with their bikinis on, like, occasionally watching the sport. I mean, if you're one of those against modern football types, you're not going to be very happy with Fulham, but I agree with Jules. I'm from the Jules Breach School, which says, bring it on. I'll probably stop just short of Jules and Wayne Lineker there, but only just short.
What this brings to mind for me, actually, is, and I need to double check this, but I'm pretty sure that one of the Qatar 2022 stadiums is supposed to have a swimming pool in it, which throws a massive, strange light on the kind of formality and customs of the place, because I don't know what outfit you'd be wearing in a pool.
Sorry, Andy,
in
just let
Qatar.
Me pick this up. Kate, have you got any opinions on Wayne Lineker?
I imagine he's going to be an honoured guest out in Doha, isn't it?
Is he your favourite Lineker?
It's hard to pick a favourite Lineker. They all have their own qualities, don't they? It'd be like picking a favourite child.
Well, in a way, one of them is a big child, but yeah, carry on.
Yeah, that was it, really. If you make it out to the World Cup in a year's time, you might be able to soak up some of the action from a swimming pool, possibly in very modest dress. I'm not really sure.
I just want to chime in very quickly with not an email I received, but a tweet. So I got a tweet late last night.
I thought you'd muted said, everyone, Luke.
I kind of have, which is why it's surprising that it came through. I just got a tweet from someone called Joey. He just said, saw this and thought of you. And when I clicked on the conversation, it had a massive photo of the Liverpool team from 1991 in fancy dress, because we talked a bit about fancy dress on the show yesterday. Yeah. And, I mean, I'll share it on my Twitter. It's incredible. You've got Ian Rush as one of the Beatles from Sgt. Pepper, right?
Oh, right. You've got, wow. So it's real. It's not some Photoshop thing.
No, I think it's from their Christmas party in like the early 90s. You've got Steve McManaman's dressed like a, I don't know how you describe him, but like a, I don't know, like a 17th century gentleman. One of them's dressed like Elvis. The other one's dressed like the Zorro. It's an incredible effort. Someone who I can't even recognise, dressed like Ronald McDonald, and David James, a very young David James, dressed as what I can only assume is Aladdin. It's great stuff. So thank you very much for sending that in.
That is a quality fancy dress
Simpler
outfit.
Time.
Yeah, keep sending them in. Send us your fancy dress outfits, anything you want. We can't promise we'll read them out, but if you're really lucky, Luke might enjoy them. Show at footballramble.com. Sticking with kind of FIFA and UEFA and all this sort of stuff, apparently football's coming home, friends. UEFA have suddenly, it's suddenly occurred to them that this current situation with coronavirus and people not being able to cross borders and all this sort of stuff, that it might be worth staging the Euros in one country, Andy, after all. Does this seem like a sensible reaction? And are you excited about Harry Kane lifting the trophy in our own back garden?
Am I satisfied about the possibility of them deciding it should be held in one country and it will be done with the one that was the last to lock down and stop international flights coming in? Yeah, I'm over the moon about it.
Such a cynic.
Health and safety representative Brassel on the case.
Let's get this absolutely right, you guys. There's absolutely no way on earth that this tournament is being played in June across all these different countries in Europe.
Can't be.
I mean, it's not happening. And they know that, and we know that. And what I would recommend is that they actually make some kind of plan and announcement as soon as possible to make this, to sort this out. I mean, we said on the show, didn't we? I think I was on a show with UK, maybe a month or two ago, saying, look, it's not happening. And England are already hosting the semi-finals and the finals, so maybe it makes sense because of the infrastructure and, in theory, the, you know, the transport links and all that type of stuff. It makes sense for them to do it in England. And well, I mean, maybe it might be extended across the rest of Britain as well, but it does make sense. But it's not going to happen across a load of different countries because I just don't think the continent's going to have recovered enough for it to be possible. So we have to see where we are with things like vaccinations and whether there'll be fans in attendance or whatever. But if UEFA want to hold a tournament, which, I mean, Andy can tell me if I'm wrong, but as far as I'm aware, they're absolutely desperate to do in the dates that they said they want to do it, then they're going to have to change their plan, and they're going to have to change it pretty quick.
Yeah, I think the issue is when Karl-Heinz Rummenigge starts announcing best practice. That's the problem, really.
Quite.
So, but if he's pointing it out, it's definitely something that's for the best of everyone. It'll be interesting to see what actually happens. I mean, in terms of, we spoke about this on the Continent this week with Dotton and Miguel Delaney. I think that there are two big issues around this. One, the fact that you've got to completely gut the venue schedule. And I think it makes it very difficult to have fans in any situation. And the second part of it is at a time when there's a push for a Super League, when there seems a greater schism than ever between club football and international football. I said on the show yesterday, I think the last thing that international football can afford is a really poor quality tournament. And when you look at the current physical state of the players, that's exactly what it's going to be. You know, we know there are a lot of like club football fundamentalists out there at the moment, but what are those people, that their moans are going to be louder than ever. And I think the moans from certain elite clubs are going to be louder than ever. If the, you know, for want of a better phrase, the product is really substandard.
So decisions due on this in March. I mean, to add a bit of sympathy into this, of course, you know, these are unprecedented times and people are making decisions on the hop. We've seen this situation with Tokyo and the Olympics and people trying to hold fire and work out if it's possible later on this year. I mean, Glasgow's cancelled, so read into that what you will. Let's have a little glance at some of the other, a quick look at some of the other FA Cup ties that we've got coming up this weekend. Cheltenham go up against Manchester City. That's Saturday afternoon, that one. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to this. I don't know if there's going to be action as glorious as we saw in their last game, Cheltenham's, when Newport goalkeeper Tom King managed to deliver the longest ever goal scored in competitive football. I mean, do we think that's the route that Pep Guardiola's men are going to go down on this lovely Saturday afternoon?
It's like a goal that's been explicitly designed to make Pep Guardiola sick. Like, it's like a horror film for him. When he's actually when he has to watch the tape of Cheltenham's game ahead of this game against Man City, assuming he does watch the tape, he's gonna visibly recoil. It's gonna be, for him, it's like in that remake of The Ring where the girl comes up the TV. He's going to be kicking his chair back and legging it out the room because it goes against everything he stands for.
Luke, you say that, but Edison definitely wants a bit of this, I think. I remember interviewing him for telly a couple of years back and saying, you have to chuck it. I was asked to chuck in the question about what outfield position would you play if you weren't a goalkeeper. And most goalkeepers, you know, have a little think about it and go, oh, I wouldn't mind being a striker, I suppose. I score the odd goal in training. Without me even getting to the end of the question, he went left back, definitely. And he would be really good outfield. I could see him Roberto Carlosing from his own corner flag.
Well, if he's a fullback under Pep, and he's automatically going to be converted into some kind of midfielder anyway. So yeah. A bit of versatility there.
This is his moment, isn't it? Really, everyone's scoring from goals as a goalkeeper, aren't they?
Is that Abel thing?
Everyone. Well, two people in a week. I mean, that seems like a lot, doesn't it? The A-bar goalkeeper. I'm sure Brassel wants to tell us all about this. He took a penalty. Lovely pen.
He did. I mean, they had missed three this season. So maybe putting up Marko Dimitrovic wasn't that abnormal. Except the fact he's in his late 20s now and he's never scored a professional goal.
Oh, so
he's
perhaps, so happy.
Or hadn't before that. But he took it like someone who scored a lot of it. There was a bit of Rogério Ceni, the way he came up and absolutely leathered it into the net. But he nearly got a goal, Dimitrovic, at the end of last season. So I guess that's, what, July, something like that. When they were playing away at Sevilla, Eibar, and they were 1-0 down, and he came up in the last minute, and he got a touch on a corner, and it was going in, but it was saved by Lucas Ocampos, the Sevilla winger, who'd scored the winning goal. But even in the days of five subs, they'd run out of subs. So he had to go in goal. So he not only scored the winner, but he saved a potential equaliser from the opposition goalkeeper.
I can't deal with it. It's too much narrative. It's too much. It's actually too much. And I also think, Andy, sorry to cut across you, but there's like, you're actually right, Kate, because there's been, goalkeepers are having a moment. We talked yesterday about Alphonse Areola going up in a league game for a goal.
Alisson was up as well last night. What the hell was he doing?
Out of his goal for about 4 minutes.
Oh, he was raging.
And they did score. And Burnley,
he lost his mind, didn't he? Basically, Alisson, because that penalty. You can see him at the end.
Yeah, goalkeepers were having a moment.
Klopp had to like drag him away from Mike Dean at the very end. He was trying to remonstrate with him, but I don't know what he was saying.
Are you saying it's like Joe Hart overcompensation?
Yeah, I think
like
it might.
Alisson trying to force the issue. The other postscript I've got to say with Dimitrovic, after threatening to be the hero after putting his team 1-0 up against Atletico, there could have been a bookending of the moment because it was 1-1. Atletico get a penalty in the 90th minute, which obviously is engineered, let's say, by Luis Suarez. And so Dimitrovic can make himself the ultimate hero by not only scoring a penalty, but saving one. But obviously, Suarez being Suarez, Panenka's in for the winner.
Yeah, we're going to miss Suarez when he's gone, I'm telling you. No one's given us. I mean, there's plenty of players out there who've given us on the Ramble as much content as Suarez, but no one's given us more content than Suarez. I mean, the man is just a headline machine. And yeah, but to take it back to the Cheltenham game, like I think Cheltenham are doing all right in League Two at the moment, right? And I mean, they haven't won for a wee while, but they're doing okay. They're up there. And the problem is they're playing Man City, right? If they're playing a struggling Premier League team in this season, you might think, okay, they've got a chance. But I happen to be of the opinion now, as I alluded to yesterday, that I think Man City are going to start to really hit their straps, and they're going to walk the division, I think, this season. And I think they might even, there's talk among some that they might even do a domestic double. I don't know what you guys think about that.
They're cranking it up. Are they going to be cranking it up at the Johnny Rock Stadium? We shall see.
Also, what a stadium, by the way.
What a stadium. other big games, if you like. Southampton, Arsenal, that's off the back of Arteta winkling out the mole in the training ground. And Aston Villa versus Newcastle, the Steve Bruce derby. I think I've got to tell you who I reckon is going to score in that one. Luke, so should we get to 4 to score?
Yeah, let's do it. It's time for Betway's 4 to score. Entry to our friend Betway's 4 to score is free. Each week, you just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Okay, game one, as Kate has already mentioned, is Aston Villa v Newcastle Saturday night, a Saturday night treat. Who have you gone for, Kate?
It's a tricky one because obviously Aston Villa haven't scored much, having not played much, but it's hard to pick someone from Newcastle, isn't it? So I've gone, no disrespect, Newcastle fans, so I've gone for Ollie Watkins.
Okay, nice pick. It's quite an interesting experiment, isn't it, by the football authorities, to see if Aston Villa can do anything this season without actually playing any football matches. We'll see how that turns out. Game two is Brentford v Leicester, Sunday afternoon. Andy, you're up with that one.
And again, it's another difficult pick because you don't really know the teams that are going to come out. But I know Brentford like a bit of rotation as well as Leicester. And you know I like to squirrel a former Wimbledon player in there. So, I mean, with Brentford, it's easy because they've all been on loan at ours. So I've gone for Marcus Force.
Oh, the Finnish super sub.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll start. You never know. All right. So game three is Fulham v Burnley. It's also on Sunday afternoon. And our old pal, Pete Donaldson, has gone for a pick for this one.
Fulham have only won this fixture in the FA Cup once in their history. So you have to say the history is very much against them. Burnley have tightened things up recently, and you probably think that Dyche would probably want strikers such as Matty Vydra to play himself back into form. So let's have a bit of that. Matty Vydra with the first one for me.
Nice pick, Pete. I think Vydra will probably start the game, so he's got a good chance. Now, we're on game four now, which is Man United v Liverpool on Sunday tea time, which is my game. But before we get into that, I want to give you guys an opportunity to marvel and to respect my 4-to-score pick of last week. Open it up to the floor now. Anything you want to say, give you the opportunity to kind of put a bookend on it, on that one.
He does this every... You do this every week. You're going to get one eventually. You know,
I mean, it's a hell of a shout. Let's be absolutely fair.
He's in scoring form, John Stones. He can do anything these days.
By the second half, anyway.
It almost got to the point where I regretted muting so many people on Twitter because a lot of people were getting in touch. But not quite. Anyway, game four, Man United v Liverpool, Sunday night. It'll probably be 0-0. But I've gone for Marcus Rashford. Obviously, he only played 5 minutes last night. I think he's obviously someone who's very in tune to the local area. He'll be desperate to score against Liverpool. I think Man United can certainly score in this game. So I've gone for Marcus Rashford. All right, so to sum up, our four picks this week are Ollie Watkins, Marcus Force, Matteo Vydra and Marcus Rashford. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. If we win the 50,000 jackpot, we'll obviously give it away to charity, but you have a chance to win it too. So give it a go. But you must be over the age of 18 and do gamble responsibly. For more information on responsible gambling, for more information on responsible gambling, please do head to begambleaware.org. Okay, now it's time for this.
It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it.
Every
it
time.
It absolutely is.
Me up.
I'm just getting my pen and paper out.
I've got mine. Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, this is what we can bring it. You, the audiovisual stimulus of a podcast.
It's Kate versus Andy. It's David versus Goliath. After they played each other last time, I'll let you know which. Well, hang on a second, Kate.
David. That's the point.
After you played last time, I was going to say it's up to the listener to decide which one's David and which one's Goliath.
All right.
So it's five players. I'll give you them one at a time. You bid for how many of their clubs they've played for. You can name. No repetition, no wrong answers. We'll see who comes out at the end as the winner. They have to have played a first team game for the club you mentioned. So we've had a little bit of that in the past. Andy Brassel snuck a Didi Haman in there once and all hell broke loose.
Not get onto the B teams thing.
We're going to open that can of worms.
So it's like a different. It's the other side of a cassette, right? It's the trap, sort of. That gets released.
Right. Controversially, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm afraid because that's what the algorithm has generated. Because Kate beat Andy last time out.
Yes, she did.
Andy
Come
gets
on,
to go first. Andy gets to go first. Okay, so
oh, is that what I want or not? Time. Oh, right.
We'll wait and see. All right, here we go. So, the first player, Andy gets to go first. He's played for six clubs in total. He's still very much a part of the football furniture, but he retired in 2008 as a player. It's Neil Lennon.
Three.
Okay. See, Andy's very quick, Kate, which can throw people off their guard, so be careful. Three, can you name four clubs that Neil Lennon played for, Kate?
Well, I can definitely name one.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm allowed to swear, aren't I?
Lower than four.
Say again.
One is quite a lot lower than four.
The problem is, right, with this... Okay, no, we'll come on to this in a minute. Three clubs seems like it's gettable for Brassel. What do you call it, Luke? It's like the sweet spot.
Isn't it? Right in the slot.
It's in the slot.
Yeah.
I thought four was the sweet spot.
Well, it depends on the number.
It depends on how many clubs.
I mean, some would say, Kate, that three's quite low.
Yeah, they would.
A little neg there from Brassel.
Hey, I need to work on some squash metaphors for you. I'll do that for next time.
That's really kind. I mean, I think I could get three, but I don't think I could get four. But All if right. I don't, But if I don't do it, then Brassel's definitely going to get three, isn't he? Or is he not?
I mean, in many ways, what you've done there is you've described the jeopardy involved in this game. but I do think, alternatively,
the rules.
Yeah, but I do think there's kind of an unspoken contract among the listeners that they know what the game involves. So just tell me who you've been for, or you want Andy to name three.
Okay. I'm going to ask Andy to name them. Go, Andy.
Okay.
Go on,
Andy. One at a time, please, mate.
Can I ask Kate if there's a future opportunity for me to go for a cup of tea while she decides how many she's going to pick? If you could tell me in advance, because I could have had two and a biscuit in that time.
Brassel's playing for time now. I don't think he's got three.
By the way, Kate, that's a dig at me because I'm running this game, not him. Name your three and then we'll move on with our lives.
Okay. Leicester City.
Correct.
Celtic.
That's also correct.
Crew Alexandra.
Bloody hell.
Very good.
I thought you were toying with me. I thought it was because when you said it was low, yeah, I thought you were implying that you didn't actually have three.
So my researchers tell me that Glenavon, who the club he started off at, isn't pro. I apologise to Glenavon supporters everywhere if that's not true, but that doesn't count as per my research. So he started his career at Manchester City, which I didn't actually know until I was looking at it. Then he went to Crewe, then Leicester City, then obviously spent a long time at Celtic, Nottingham Forest, and then ended his career at Wycombe Wanderers. Okay, it's 1-0 to Andy. Okay, you're up first this time.
What do you mean I'm up first?
A little bit of a... He's a young prospect, this guy. Young prospect, probably still playing somewhere. But he started his career in 1992. He actually retired 20 years later, officially. He's played for six clubs in total. It's Kanu.
Oh, no. I mean... What I think is that this is more difficult because we're not in a room together. Because right now I'd be eyeballing your man, Brassel.
You'd be writing notes on a piece of paper.
Well, that was my
whole... quite a big player, Kanu. That was my whole strategy, wasn't it?
That was the whole thing, was to like psych him out gradually.
Yeah, it's difficult for you in this environment.
I'll accept sledging by WhatsApp, you know. I don't think that's unreasonable in the circumstances.
No, listen, phones should be down and windows should be closed for this. I've got no way of checking, but I'm trusting in people's good nature, trusting in people's better nature here.
Do you think neighbours are sending in paper aeroplanes with the answers in? I'll tell you what, that's a great idea, actually.
Andy, I mean windows on computer screens, crucially, not actual windows. Right.
How many clubs is this?
Six. And I need a number from you now before everyone falls asleep. Give me a number now.
How 92 he was born, you said?
No, he started his career in 92. Kanu, fucking hell.
Give me a number,
Kate, now, or I'm going to give the point to Andy.
I'll just say three. Don't make me do it. Brassel, say four.
Four.
Okay. I take it Kate's not going to bid five then, right? So is that fair, Kate?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so Andy, one at a time, please. Four clubs that Carney's played for.
Portsmouth. Arsenal. Ajax. Internazionale.
Absolutely correct. The only two clubs you didn't name were West Bromwich Albion, where he spent two seasons before he went to Portsmouth. And if you can name the club he started his career at, I'll give you the money myself.
Is there money involved in this? I don't know.
No, I'm only joking. Let's hope so. Okay? The club he started his career at is called, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Iwan Yanwu National. Nigeria. So there we go.
That's what I was actually trying to say when I was saying Inter, actually.
Is that right?
Is it?
Okay, well, very impressive if that's the case. All right, so Andy, you're up first again.
I was getting stressed that he had like a younger brother or something. You're stressing me out, man.
He almost certainly has. If you get this one, you have won the game because you're 2-0 up with three to play. You're first this time around. He's also played for six clubs, weirdly enough. He retired in 2018, so just two and a bit years ago. He is Glenn Johnson.
Ooh. Did we have him last week? What the hell? Did we not just do him?
Nope.
Have I dreamed that?
It's entirely possible. I don't want to be a part of any of your dreams, but it is possible.
Oh, Luke, you always are, mate. Don't you?
What a bluffer I am, eh? Go on, Andy.
May I have four?
You may have four, of course. So polite.
You can't have four.
Yeah, right.
That's your bid. Four is your bid, Andy. I've heard it, so I've got to accept it.
What was the little noise that he just made?
I don't know. He's just trying to put you off. Kate, do you want to go five?
Well, the problem here, obviously, is that he's going to win now if I don't make a bid, but he's just made it seem like he doesn't know four. Luke, what do I do? I would know if we were in a room together.
I think if Andy can't name four clubs that Glenn Johnson played for, he's not the man I thought he was.
Why is he... Oh, so he's just trying to psych me out, is he?
But it's not for me to say. It's not for me
right,
to
Luke,
say.
All right, Luke, I'll give it a go. Yeah, five.
Five. Okay, Andy, do you want to do all six?
No, the reason I stopped is because I could do five. I'm not sure I could do six. So you go for it.
Exciting.
All right, Kate, so one at a time, please. The clubs that Glenn Johnson has played for. Look, quite a high-profile Premier League player. Absolutely no reason you can't do five of these.
Thanks,
I know you need a bit of a build-up to your confidence, so consider that to be that.
Enough.
Here we go. One at a time, please. Five clubs that Glenn Johnson has played for.
Okay. Well, there seems to be a bit of a theme here, right? Because he is a Portsmouth man.
Correct. That's one.
That's just the one, though. Liverpool?
Yeah. Obviously played there for a very long time, correct?
Chelsea?
Correct. High-profile move to Chelsea, yeah, in his career as well. So that's three.
Shit, that's only three. I was sort of hoping that was four, Luke.
No, unfortunately, I can't change maths, sadly. I wouldn't waste it on this.
London. Did he? No. How about West Ham?
Yep. That's where he started his career. So you need one more to make it 2-1. Good performance by you, this, Kate.
Thanks, mate.
I don't mean that in a patronising way. People think I'm just patronising you. I'm not. You're very low on confidence when it comes to Luke's game. So sometimes you have to have it built, and it's all about confidence.
Did he play for Millwall?
That is incredible. That's five. Well played. So
and the,
that's your
and
five.
The other one, Stoke. What's really
is
annoying
correct.
Is I knew all of them and I can't count, so I didn't realise I knew all of them.
Can't change maths. So. Can't change maths, Andy. Okay, thank God.
Apparently I can, Kate. Apparently I can.
That's absolutely correct. Glenn Johnson played West Ham, Millwall, Chelsea, Portsmouth, Liverpool, and then Stoke City, where he ended his career. Fucking well played, hell. Kate. Very good turnout by you, that.
Thank you. I'm so relieved 2-1. Because I was so worried about the clean sweep. So actually, I think
yeah,
I'm
that's
relaxed
okay.
now.
You've yeah. avoided that now, so that's something to be proud of. Okay, the fourth player, and Kate, you get to go first on this one. He's played right. for five clubs in total.
Mm. Not low club scores in this one.
Yeah,
yeah, that's just how the algorithm works sometimes. He started his career in 2001, ended it very, very recently. Amazing career, high-profile player, five clubs in total. Fernando Torres.
Oh, for God's sake. Well, Brussels going to be able to do all of these, isn't he? So I guess I go four.
Four. Andy, can you do all five?
Well, I'm going to have to try.
Okay, so you're bidding five. Okay. Okay, there's nowhere for you to move if Andy bids five. So, Andy, you have.
So I should have gone five. I've bollocked this up.
It's too late, I'm afraid. You have the opportunity now, Andy, to put this to bed and secure a 3-1 win. One at a time, please. The five clubs that Fernando Torres has played for. People listening should play along as well. It's all part of the fun. See if you can do it as well as Andy. Five clubs, please, Andy. One at a time. Off you go.
Now, because of my poor maths, I don't actually know if I know five. I just know some clubs. So I'm just going to name some clubs until I run out, basically.
Okay, I'll be able to count from one to five for you.
I this think is even I can shambles. Do
that. I believe in you.
Go for it.
May I start with Vissel Kobe?
That's a point to Kate. He hasn't played for Vissel Kobe. I think you're probably thinking of Andres Iniesta. Fernando Torres did play out in
Japan,
but yeah. He played for Seigan Tosu.
Ah, fuck's sake.
Not Vissel Kobe. So oh, well. You could have had Atletico Madrid, Liverpool, Chelsea and Milan. And the fifth club was Sagan Tosu. So I'm afraid that is 2-2. And we Exciting. Go to a decider.
That is amazing.
Incredible.
I'm so happy. Because I could never
Andy,
have
how do you
five.
Feel about that? You must be gutted.
No, I like to give some colour to the game.
Look, what an error. What an error.
Now he's making out he's just playing like loads.
Well, he gets to go first and the deciding player. So here we'll see how we go. He's played for 7 clubs in total. He is Rafa van der Vaart.
Okay, I'll go 5.
Okay, Kate, do I hear 6 from you? I mean, I'm not going to be out of order, but I will be absolutely stunned if you can do 6.
That is a bit out of order. This is weak. This is weak, but I can't.
I couldn't do 6. There's no chance.
But it's weak not to try, isn't it? But I am going to...
But Kate, listen. Andy got it wrong first club up last time.
Yeah, and okay, I was pretty convinced that I was right, actually. Which is why I went for the difficult one first.
On the other hand, you're a Spurs fan?
Yes, all right. No, Brussels, go. Go, go, go.
Okay. So 5 clubs, please, Andy, that Rafa van der Vaart's played for. If you get 5, you've won. And that's that. If you don't, then Kate's won, and it's another famous victory. So the pressure is as high as it gets on Luke's
gosh.
Game. Off you go, one at a time.
Ajax. Real Madrid.
Okay.
Tottenham Hotspur.
You gave him that, by the way. I know he knew
oh,
it.
Oh, come on.
Still. Yeah,
come on.
What do you mean you gave me that?
Because he said about me being a Spurs fan. Unfair.
Yeah, I really needed the help there.
But let's be honest, we are not living in an alternative timeline where Andy Brassel doesn't know that Rafa van der Vaart played for Spurs. I'm sorry, but that's just not how it is.
Look, I'm not in the same room. I've got to try and fuck with him. I obviously am not doing a very good job.
2 more, Andy.
Hamburg.
1 more for the win.
Oh.
Michelin.
You can't do it.
Andy Brassel wins! Saw that one coming.
Yeah, well played. Very good, mate. Well done. So he started his career at Ajax, Hamburg, Real Madrid, Spurs, Hamburg again, Betis, Michelin, and played a few games for Esbjerg before retiring. So that is 3-2 to Andy. A very well-fought encounter, though. Well done to you both. It was an interesting and enjoyable game. Kate, you gave a great account of yourself, but
Thanks.
Andy has won on this occasion.
I'm really down, guys. You shouldn't make me feel so down. Like
it's the first time in absolutely ages that I've won. So I would say well played, Mace, but what I really mean is you should be ashamed.
Andy, have you got a message for our lineal and current title holder?
No message. No message.
Okay. All right. Let
he
you,
knows
let
where
you,
you are.
Let your game and do your talking.
Exactly.
Okay, guys. Well, I'm going to try and deliver this this with gusto, but as gusto, I don't currently feel. So you know, thanks for hanging out on this fine sunny morning, Luke.
No, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for nothing, Brass.
Thank you.
And thanks you lot for listening to the Football Rabble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. We'll be back on Monday.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.